pastor the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and just thinking about the teachings of Christ and what I tell you, I was talking to Sunday school class, and I talked to Lee this week, and I was talking about how I haven't studied or I haven't prepared or I haven't been so torn apart as at the study of the Beatitudes and this Sermon on the Mount. You say, why? Because I see the failure in myself so greatly. And so I want you to know that when I stand up here, the desire to serve Jesus Christ and the desire to serve Him as He says here, I fall way short of that just like everybody else. And so it's a continuous growth as I go forward, a continuous growth cycle as we spiral upwards, and we'll talk more about that. And so I want you to know as your pastor that, wow, the Word of God cuts going and it cuts coming. And so when Jesus was speaking and He's teaching us these Beatitudes and how we've seen that to be poor in spirit, that we realize that we're beggars before God. And then when we realize that we're so desperately in need of God and that we can do nothing on of our own, then it brings us to mourning in the second Beatitude, that blessed are those who mourn. And then when we mourn and we understand our position with the Lord, then it makes us meek. We cannot be proud in any way. How can we ever be proud of anything because we rely on God so desperately? And then we saw last week, and then when we're meek and we're hungry for God, then it says you'll hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so we see our appetites change, and as we grow and we feast upon the things of God, we grow spiritually stronger. And the first four, as we look at these first four attitudes, it's really dealing with that inner principles. It's dealing with the principles of the heart. And then as we make this change here, we'll see that the last four are outward manifestation of those attitudes. And we come to know and we live by these standards. And I was thinking about our movies. Thinking about how our entertainment. And so I want us to think about that just a minute. And the title of our lesson today is What Goes Around Comes Around. In Matthew 5:7. Let's stand on our feet. Reverence the Word of God as we read this one verse, and then we'll begin in our message. Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Father, in Jesus' name we ask you, God, you know the work that you've been doing in my heart. I pray in Jesus' name, God, may you be glorified, magnified through the preaching and teaching of your Word. God, may hearts be touched through your Holy Spirit, and we'll praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. But I was thinking about our entertainment, our movies, and how so many times it's motivated, and the theme will be on revenge. Think about revenge. And there's something about in the fleshly human person that we see this idea of getting even, and these bad guys, or something's happened, and then the whole movie's based, and in the end, sweet revenge comes. And what do they say? Revenge is a dish best served what? Cold. I mean, and we think about the entertainment that we have, but you know, when we get to this scripture, we think of payback being applauded. If we're not careful, we give what we get. That's what the world teaches, and I want you to know that idea of what goes around comes around. It's not going to fit this beatitude this morning. So I want you to know that right up front. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. But Jesus had this idea that, you know, if it was greater than if I'm nice to somebody, well, they'll be nice to me. If we're not careful, that's how we're motivated in life. And so if somebody's not very nice to you, what do? You give it back to them, right? Payback. That's not how Christ said a kingdom citizens and his kingdom followers and his children should act and how they should be in this life. And so when we get to that, these Beatitudes, as they x-ray our soul, allow them just to penetrate right where you are. And to be totally honest, guess what? God knows anyway. To be totally honest in how you find yourself and how God sees us, and that's so important. And so when we're preaching these, I want us to flesh out two phrases this morning in this service when we're dealing with this beatitude. The first is, what does it mean to be merciful? What does it mean to be merciful? Blessed are the merciful is what the Scripture says. I want you to know mercy is seen throughout, from the fall of man to the return of Christ. It's seen throughout the Scripture. And I want you to know that each and every one of us here this morning that's a child of God has tasted mercy. Praise God for the mercy of God in our lives. But you know what? There's a difference between mercy and grace. They're first cousins. They're real close, but there's a difference here. With mercy is not giving us what is deserved. You know what I deserved? I deserved hell. For 28 years, I lived without Jesus Christ. I did everything the world had to offer. My excuse was the typical man thing. I did what I wanted. I did what I wanted as much as I wanted to and to whoever I wanted to. That's how we are as men if we're not careful. We're prideful. And I deserved, and in that 28 years of span time, if he had not saved me, I would have been in hell forever. I'm so thankful for his mercy. He didn't give me what I deserved. But grace is that idea of giving what's not deserved. See, there's a little difference there, isn't it? You see, when he saved me, mercy, I deserved hell, but you know what he gave? He imputed Christ's righteousness into my life, into my account. Every child of God, you should never get over that. He saved us and delivered us from hell, eternal separation from him. And he imputed righteousness to our account that we stand forgiven before a holy God because of grace. Mercy and grace work hand in hand. It's a beautiful picture. Not giving us, but what we deserve. And in the days that Jesus was teaching, we know we talked about this, Roman domination. The last thing they wanted to do is be merciful, okay? The last thing we want to do many times is when things are going wrong and we're being wrong, we don't want to show mercy, do we? We want the hammer, man. We want to bring the hammer down on something or somebody. We don't want to give mercy. And yet Jesus says this morning, blessed are those that are merciful. What is this understanding? Let's flesh it out some more. You know, we operate, many of us operate, and we do as a nation also on the idea of justice. The idea of justice, what's fair. You don't take long for a kid, right, to understand this. I mean, that's not fair. So-and-so got something I didn't. Right? How many times you heard that in your life? That's just not fair. And we're in truth be known, we're just big kids, ain't we, right? Something don't happen. That's just not fair. And so that's justice. That's the idea of justice. Mercy's not dealing with justice. In fact, it's the opposite of justice. It's not the fair question, but it's the what have I been forgiven question. It'll help us when God's asking us and telling us to be merciful, blessed or proved to God or happy or joyful are the people that are merciful. Why? When we understand what we've been forgiven as God's children. And Jesus was our greatest example of mercy. Think what he did. He healed the sick, restored the cripple, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, life even to the dead. I'm looking at a whole room full of people. He gave life from the dead. He resurrected us, so to speak, spiritually. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. And yet he gave us life in Christ. If you don't have that promise this morning, you're a miserable person. Don't care how much you say or how happy you say you are. If you don't have that hope, there's a gnawing in your soul. There's a longing in your heart. And you'll search it and you're searching for that answer. You're looking for that thing which God wanted for you. And here's the deal. It's Christ. It's Christ. Yes. It's the idea of knowing that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you don't have that this morning, you're missing something. You're missing something. I want to ask you something. Did Jesus receive mercy? We're talking about that, what goes around comes around. Did he receive mercy? What did he receive? He received the cross. He gave his life. He gave his life even for us. You see, mercy gives this idea of mercy gives attention to the miserable. It's a synonym for compassion. Compassion in action, not just a feeling, not just this empathy that we have. We all have, are people of compassion if you're not a total reprobate. You have compassion on certain things, even whether it be an animal or humans or all these other things. We have this empathy, but listen, mercy is far greater than just compassion or apathy. It's not far greater than just a feeling. It's action. It's action. It's putting into place in action what we're feeling. It's not just feeling bad about something, but it's being merciful. You say, what are we talking about here? Let's look at Luke chapter 10, 25, just quick. The illustration of somebody that was merciful. We know this parable well, the Good Samaritan. And we know it starts there in 25 when the lawyer stood up and he tested Jesus. He said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "What is written in the law?" And the lawyer asked, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And that's what the lawyer said. Jesus said, "You've answered rightly. Do this and you'll live." And then the lawyer, still wanting to, you know, test him, said, "Hey, who is my neighbor?" And that's where we get this great parable in Luke chapter 10, 30 through 37. And it says, "And then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest," surely a preacher, "coming by that road." Look, surely a priest came down the road, and when he saw him, what did he do? He passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, man, a religious guy. He's a guy that's always in church, a Levite, took care of all the God things. Surely a Levite is going to help this man, beaten, half dead. And when he arrived at that place, he came and looked and passed by on the other side. Man, they're all just, look, don't want to get involved. We're not careful, boy. That's right up our system. We don't want to get involved. We just want to pass by on the other side. And then it says, but then a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, what does it say he had? He had compassion. And was just feeling bad. Oh, I feel so bad for that guy walking on. Did he keep on going down the road? No, what did he do? He put it into action. Listen to what it says. So when he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Went further than that. On the next day, when he had departed, he took out a denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." And listen to what Jesus said. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed him mercy." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." You see, it's an action word. It's compassion in action, merciful. It's seeing needs and meeting those needs. It's easy to say that we're merciful, but if it's never manifested in action, it's just words and they're useless. Being merciful is compassion in action. Well, not only that, but think about merciful is this idea of forgiveness. Now you're going to meddling, preacher. Forgiveness. There's many of you sitting right here in this room that there's something in your background where family or friends and somebody's hurt your feelings. There's so many times that you see families separated. There's brothers or sisters I hadn't spoken to in how many years, and like you're proud of that. And you say, "Well, I've forgiven them, but I'm just not. That's not forgiveness, by the way. Forgiveness means you forgive and you put it behind you. So this idea of forgiveness, and yet we think, "Oh, we give them a cold shoulder, but I've forgiven them, but I'm not going to speak to them." That's not true forgiveness. I want us to think about Joseph and his brothers when it comes to forgiveness. We know the story. Old Joseph was born late. Jacob's wife, man, he loved him so much. One of his favorite wives, and he had the coat of many colors, right, and all those things. And those brothers, what they do? They hated him. Why? Because he was the favorite. Don't pay favorites, Mom and Dad, all right? Kids know that. They sniff that out. Remember the fair thing? They know that anyway, right? Joseph was a favorite. And we know that, I'm thinking, man, he don't have enough sense. He sends him out there amongst them older brothers, said, "Go check on them. Go look up on them, see what they're doing." That's the last thing older brothers brought, right? Some little brother that's looking around telling daddy everything that's going on. And they see him coming way off, and they know who he was. Why did they know who he was? He was wearing that coat. He was wearing that coat. When he get up there, you know what they do? This is what sin will do for you. They wanted to kill their own brother. Let's get rid of him, this dreamer. He had had those dreams that one day they'd bow down to him, even his mom and dad. They said, let's kill him, get rid of him. That's how jealous they were. And that's how unforgiveness will do you, by the way. But they thought, wait, this happened, just happened. God's providence, a band of Midianites are coming down, going down to Egypt. And they say, hey, why kill him? Let's make some money off of him. So they throwed him in a pit, right? And when they pull him out, now Reuben, it says Reuben was planning on rescuing him, but they throw him in that pit. These slave traders come by and they get some money out of it. They're thinking, yeah, we'll have to cover it up and put some blood on the coat and cover it up. And here's Joseph. Can you imagine hearing his screams as your brother's being hauled off? He's leaving there as a young man headed for Egypt thinking he's never going to see his family again. He gets down to Egypt. It doesn't matter. God's got his hand on him. Don't matter what he does. Right? He starts working for Potiphar, and it's all blessed. We know the story. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him and then blames it on him, says he tried to rape me. He gets thrown in prison. Was that fair? Unjustly? Whatsoever? I don't see any bitterness in his life. I don't see him thinking, God, what are you doing in my life? Do you not think he probably thought that, but you don't see that recorded in Scriptures. You don't see him bitter. You don't see him bitter at what's happening in life. Sometimes life's full of hard knocks, I promise you. If you live long enough, the things are going to come and storms are going to come. You don't see that. You don't see him whining. Butcher, the baker, and the cupbearer, they're in there, and they have a dream, and he interprets that dream for them. God still uses him in the prison, in the dungeon. You realize God's in the dungeon. I don't know where you're at. You might be at a low place in your life. You realize God is right there with you, and he was using Joseph there, and he foretold these dreams, and he said, hey, just remember now, when you get placed back, just remember me. It was 2 years. Do I see him sitting there thinking, forget about me, what the world's going on? No, he kept working for the Lord right there in the dungeon. Pharaoh has a dream. Baker, by the way, had lost his life. The cupbearer would, just like the dreams had said. And Pharaoh has a dream, and he's wondering who in the world can interpret this dream, and the light comes on with the cupbearer. So, hey, I remember back in prison, I met this guy, and he told me what my dream was, and it came true. And what do? They go get old Joseph out of the prison, and next thing you know, he interprets Pharaoh's dream, and he talks about famine coming and how you have these 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine's going to come. And it happens just like he says. And Pharaoh puts him in charge. And so they plant and lay up the crops and store all the grain those first 7 years. And the famine comes. But next thing you know, all his brothers are hungry because the famine's in the land. Where do they head? Down to Egypt. Down to Egypt. And before you know it, what are they doing? They're bowing before Joseph. Now, I want you to think about it. You want some payback? You want some revenge? You got them right where you want them. Not to mention, I told you so, right, that you're going to bow before me. Does he do that? Is that what he does? No, he plays with them a little bit to see if their hearts change. Now, he does mess with them, right? But we see compassion. He'd have to go, and he probably had, Egyptians were known for wearing makeup, even men. He'd probably go cry his mascara off, right, every time he saw them. They couldn't recognize him, by the way. So he would cry, he'd go back, because why? He loved them so much. I want you to know what forgiveness was. You know what he said? He said, what you meant for good, it ends up to have a big family reunion. Dad gets to come down. He said, what you meant for good, for evil, God meant for good. That's forgiveness, my friend. That's true forgiveness. He forgave them. That's being merciful. I couldn't help but thinking about Elizabeth Elliot. She died last month, the 15th of last June, of last month. Her husband, Jim Elliott's one of my heroes of the faith, and I learned about her as his wife, and they got married right after college. They actually got married in Ecuador. They had a heart to go down and give the gospel, and we know the story. If you've ever seen the movie The End of the Spear, Nate Satan, he got three other buddies, and they got a heart to go give the gospel to these Aka Indians, and all they'd ever done, anybody that ever met them, any white man that ever met them, they killed them. Now that's a heart, ain't it? They desperately wanted them to have the gospel. And so when they start making contact with them, the next thing you know, they land a little plane on the beach, and five men go, and they make contact with the natives. Before the night's over, they're speared to death right there on that beach. that it launched one of our modern day, by the way, missions movement that we have today come from these five men getting killed on that beach. But here's the thing. Here's merciful. Elizabeth takes Valerie, her two-year-old daughter, and within 2 years, she's down there living with the very men that took her husband's life and won them to the Lord. And women, I want you to think about that. How difficult that would be that they took your husband's life, yet she's willing to take her little two-year-old daughter, move in with him, along with his Nate Saint's sister, one of the men that got killed, the pilot. She moved. She died there. She gave her whole life there. That is mercy, my friend. That's being merciful. That's being unforgiving. Or being forgiven, I mean. It's loving people enough that you're willing to give. The opposite of this would be the unforgiving servant, the parable of that in Matthew 18 where he says the master comes and he's giving accounts and he's got a servant there and that servant owes him like it's like 10,000 talents would be the equivalent of $20 million today. That's what he owed him. And so he took him, he said, pay me. And you know what he does? He falls before the master and he says, oh, please forgive me. Just give me a little more time and I'll pay you everything. A debt that he could never pay, by the way. And you know what the master, it said the master had compassion on him. And he alleviated the debt. How would you like that, boy? I wonder if that worked at the bank. Oh, please, don't. These payments. It is funny, ain't we? Think about it. This master alleviated him as his old debt. But then it says that same servant went out and found another servant that owed him like $2,000. It was 100 denarii, which is like $2,000. You know what he did? He choked him and said, pay me everything you owe me. That servant got down on his knees and said, oh, please forgive me. Give me time to pay it back. And that other, you know what the servant that had been given, forgiven that $20 million, you know what he did? He didn't, oh, wait a minute, this looks like what I just went. You know what he did? He threw him in jail. He said, you'll pay it back. Oh. Well, the other friends go back and they tell the master this is what he did. And you know what the scripture says? It says that the master threw him in jail and said, how dare you that you've been forgiven so much and yet you wouldn't forgive your brother? And it says, hey, he delivers him over to the torturers. Listen to what Jesus said. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you does not in his heart forgive his brother his trespasses. Now that's about as clear as you can get. Are you holding a trespass? Are you holding an awe or a grudge against a brother? Jesus said, you don't understand if you are my forgiveness that you've been given. Now that's as clear as you can make it. That's what he's telling us this morning. Be merciful. Well, not only if we see this idea of what does it mean to be merciful, but look, what is the benefit of being merciful? Look at the rest of the verse. For they shall obtain mercy. I want us to think about this. For they shall. Only the merciful will receive mercy. Now, I want to clarify the idea now about this title, what goes around comes around, or the idea of the Hinduism, karma. It's just karma. We hear that today, and that's all that is Hinduism. And you know what it is? It's taking the Bible and trying to secularize, making what? You will sow, you will reap what you sow. They're trying to make that into something that we can grasp. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't always. Pay it forward. We've all heard that. The truth of the matter is, people will take advantage of you. We live in that kind of world. And Jesus is not talking about this idea of it's not always going to be true that, man, if we show mercy to man, that you're going to receive mercy from men. He's talking about receiving mercy from God, that which we all look for. He's restating this idea. And the idea is really in the context of God's mercy. And that word, God's mercy, is hesed in the Hebrew. And it's that God's covenant love, that covenant love that he goes into covenant with us. And loves us in that way. And he's saying that's the mercy that he wants you to have towards each other. It shows God's love when we do that, by the way. And it's the message of the entire Bible. We are saved despite what we deserve, what we don't deserve. We're saved by that. He gave us righteousness. Don't ever forget that. Our lives are an expression that we have received mercy. Think about prayer. What do you say? Forgive us our trespasses as what? As we forgive those who trespass against us. The Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, we have no right to look down on anybody. we should never say, oh, I would never do that. How many of us point fingers and see things that's going, oh, I would never do that, as if, you know what you're trying to do? Just trying to make your own pride and yourself feel good. That's all it is. You're trying to lift or elevate yourself up while you're cutting somebody else down. We should never, as Christians, look down our noses on anyone. We should understand that the forgiveness that's been given, the mercy that's been shown, and we should be merciful people. We should care enough about somebody that's out there in sin, that's living in sin. And guess what? It's not just the pastor's job. It's everybody's job to say, hey, we love you. What's going on? Reach out and love somebody enough to embrace them and ask them, how can I help you? How can I pray for you? You know what? We buy into the world's way. Oh, that's none of our business. We don't want to meet that. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, be merciful. Love people enough, what? To have compassion in action. Be compassionate. To love. When we understand that Christ absorbed all the wrath of God upon the cross of Calvary. Think about that. In our place. We become His children. And again, as He imputes His righteousness in our life, we stand forgiven before a holy God because of what Christ has done for us. That's mercy. That's being merciful when we give that back and give that out. God can forgive anybody. I'm living testimony of that. I don't know what you're dragging around. If you've got sin in your life and you're saying, you got all this, and that's what sin does. It's like this huge weight that you drag around, and you think you're constantly reminded of that sin. You're constantly keep going back to that and say, I need to quit doing this. I need to quit doing that, and that big sin just weights you down. I want you to know something. When Christ saves you, that weight is thrown away, and it's given. Why? Because the righteousness of Christ is imputed to your life, and no longer can Satan remind you of your sin. Oh, he might constantly bring it up trying to keep you beat down, but you can say, forgiven! Forgiven through the righteousness and mercy of Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that, you know it this morning. I don't have to stand up here and manipulate you or try to make you feel guilty or any of those things. You know it through the Holy Spirit of God. Right now, you know if you've got that forgiveness or not. And I'm going to tell you, if you're one of them people say, well, I hope so. Oh, that's a bad place to be, my friend. The Bible says, in fact, Scripture and Gospel of John says that you may know. You don't know it. It's not a prideful thing. I know it. It's I know it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God comes and He dwells within a man or a woman that receives Jesus Christ. And He testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. If you don't know, then that testimony's not there. Then, my friend, you might be lost. And you're playing and you're gambling with eternity. And mercy will not be shown to you one of these days if you've not received mercy. Greatest mercy of all. I like what somebody said. We are one beggar showing another beggar where we found bread. That's what we are. Show you. Here, let me show you where some bread is. You hungry? One sinner having mercy on another. I'm going to ask you something. Have we really shown mercy? Have we really forgave? Let's get down to brass tacks as we're finishing up. Have we really forgave? Someone took my job, hurt my feelings, got one over on me. Oh, I'll forgive, but I'll give them the cold shoulder. That's not forgiveness. Here's the deal. How would you like God to give you the cold shoulder? How would you like for Him to forgive that way? Oh, I've forgiven them. You know exactly who I'm talking about, too, if that's hitting you right between the eyes. Oh, I'll give them a cold shoulder. I've forgiven them, but no buts in forgiveness. God has every right to judge us. Look at what we owe Him. Every right. Blessed are the merciful, and I love this, for they shall, that word shall, obtain mercy. It's a future tense. And that's that upward spiral of life that I was talking about. We're spiraling upwards. Yesterday we had, Irene Miller's funeral down here at the Miller Cemetery. And at the end, the children released balloons. And, you know, you've seen that before, and that balloons, that upward spiral of those balloons, and they get up so far you can't even see them. And I want you to know something, that life is like that, that we're continuously moving upwards and moving towards God, that we're growing in Christ every day, and that one of these days, whether He takes me, by the way, if He were to take my life right now, the next breath, what a way to go, by the way. I'm ready in Christ. What a way to go preaching His Word. Don't you cry over me. You give praises unto the Lord. If He took my next breath, you know what? I would continue to upward. Why? Because of what Christ has done in my life. Do you have that hope and assurance? Just like those balloons, I was thinking about Irene when she breathed her last prayer breath, that she was to be absent from the body as presence with the Lord, but one of these days also, right there in that Miller Cemetery, just like cemeteries all around here, I buried over 10 of them since I've been here in a year. The old guard, the graves are going to open one of these days, and just like it said, the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and they're going to spiral upwards, my friend. Do you have that blessed assurance? Do you know if the Lord required your life today that you would be spiraling upward to be with Him? There's only one way it comes, is receiving the mercy of God. And when you receive the mercy of God, you'll be merciful. You'll be merciful. Why? To whom much is given, much is required. And we're to be merciful. Amen, brother. Amen. Well, we're going to have some application. And we'll be done. What's God said to you today? Listen, are you holding any grudges this morning? Oh, that's worming. Are you holding any grudges this morning? I'm going to say, you can lie all you want to, but God knows your heart. Are you got any grudges this morning? If you got any grudges, you need to give them up. Give them to the Lord today. Why? That's not being merciful. I want you to know that that hits me right. I'm one of them people, I love you and all that, but if you make me mad, you get one over at me, it's hard for me just to get over it, to be honest with you. That's terrible. I'm not to be that kind of person. Somebody, you know, I'm just not that close to them anymore because they hurt my feelings or hurt my pride. That's all it is. It's pride. It's just pride. Are you holding any grudges this morning? What about number two? Do you really grasp the mercy that God has shown you through Christ this morning? Do you really grasp the mercy that's been shown to you? What God did for you on the cross of Christ, not for everybody. Don't make it everybody. Make it you individually. He died on the cross for you and your sins. His stripes were taken for your sins. And His righteousness will be applied to your account when you get to that part. When you understand individually, I need a Savior. And then number three, are you a merciful person? Is mercy seen in your life? Do people think of you as a merciful person? Let's begin with our time of decision. Linda, you going to play? Or okay. Wilma, let's all stand to our feet. I want us to think a minute, just a few moments. Close your eyes before the Lord. Here's the question. Do you know you have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning? God's wanting to do something here. Now, you can be disobedient. You can walk out here the same way you came, but you're being disobedient to God. If you're lost and you know you're lost, today's the day. Just make it right. I'm not going to guilt you. I'm just going to say the Holy Spirit's already pricked your life, and you know it. When the singing starts, come forward. If you know you're holding a grudge and you've played around with that thing and you've blamed it on somebody else and you've made excuse after excuse, but you know that there's unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, you need to come forward and give it to God this morning. If you know that you're not marked by mercy, if you know you're not a merciful person, come forward and ask God to make you merciful, compassion in action, to love and to care, whatever it is. God's doing. Do it when they first start singing. Go ahead, Brittany. How about you? People's coming. About you. Won't be right. God's working. What about your life? You're lost. This is your chance. Don't miss out on the greatest thing that ever happened to you this morning. Jesus Christ, man. He's waiting here for you. Just a couple more minutes. You don't want to miss it. If there's unforgiveness in your heart, and a lot of people's laying it down right here this morning on this altar. Not a better time to do it. Finish. They can pray and finish praying. Whatever you need to do, you all guys are welcome. Just want you guys to know I love you. Somebody here needs to talk to me about Jesus. Please don't leave before you talk to me. If maybe coming forward, you know the Holy Spirit was about to beat your heart out, or you've got forgiveness that you're just not willing to let go of. If you need to talk to me about that, please let me know. The flyers for our Vacation Bible School. Listen, we've already got more kids. We've already broke a record. Pre-registration. Praise the Lord. As kids, that represents souls and families. These little flyers are back there on the back. That's still just because we've got 80. Don't mean that there's not 80 more that needs to hear about Christ, okay? Take your flyers with you, hang it up and work. Give it to kids you know that's out in the yard and never goes to church on Sunday. Do something about it. Give them flyers. Just invite them. Just invite them to come. Also, remember, I need some men to stay over to tear down when we can decorate some more. But I want you to know something. I love you. I love you very much. Whatever the Lord's doing in your life, be obedient and follow Him. I'm going to have Lee dismiss us. 5:30, yes, tonight. 5:30, thank you, Lee. Going over to Hope for the Mountain, it's going to be a good time. You don't want to miss tonight. Now, these youth, I look to see the Lord do a work. You see a lot of people, young people might come to know the Lord tonight. Wouldn't you like to be in on that and see that happen? If it happened here, we'll leave at 5:30 tonight. So Lee, dismiss us, please.